It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, waving to the people this morning as they walk by in downtown Nashville. He is Nashville's media darling, Big Joe on the go. I am Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back at the studio on the ones and twos. I saw Nick yesterday for the first time in 3 weeks.
Oh, no.
He's grown an inch.
Has he?
He has.
Yeah, I mean, I see him every day, so it's time to figure that out, but good.
Just a growing boy.
He is a
doctor said it stopped after senior year of high school. No, on contrary.
No. Doing well. What's up, JoJo?
Hey, how are you? You know it. Friday, it's here. It's we got football going on, and college is reporting next week for practice, and so our long national nightmare is over. We didn't have much to talk about, and now we do.
Last night, yesterday, was the final Thursday without football until February.
Love it. Love
so
it.
That we'll get the Hall of Fame game next week, which, you know, doesn't matter, but it at least it's.
Who is it this year?
That's a great question.
I saw it the other day. Or
is
last
it the
year.
Bills?
That Bills. I don't know.
It's Chargers Lions.
Oh, okay. Chargers and Lions. Because Antonio Gates is going in.
Yeah.
And then they usually have to pick a team whose player is going to the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, that's the – good. So, it's exciting. So, it's here. I know it's like, you know, the starters will play half a snap, basically. But for the other guys, it's their Super Bowl to make the team. And
half a snap. That's pretty funny.
Go forward. And, Jim Harbaugh goes back to Ohio.
He said, yes, he does.
Brings you to Ohio. He said,
did he
damn
say that?
If I know.
Did he say that?
He did.
I don't know if he did, but.
He sure did.
So training camp yesterday, had several people reach out and liked our conversation with Tyler Lockett. So
yeah, good.
Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that.
Tiny guy.
Yeah?
Tiny. I mean, not Dr. Crane tiny, but tiny.
Do you just want to put them in your pocket?
I try to.
Look, I'm not that small. I'm not fun size. I'm a little bit bigger than fun size, okay?
But you're fun.
But I looked up some Tyler Lockett on YouTube with his highlights. He's a damn good player, man. He made some big plays for the Seahawks. So hopefully he can continue this year. But again, Titans and their history of signing free agent wide receivers is disastrous.
Well, and look, man, I don't know what people – really are expecting of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he had, I think, 600 yards, something like that last year. Plus, I mean, with this offense, who knows?
Right? Just come in and contribute. Let's talk about the awful receivers they've had free agent-wise. Carl Pickens.
Ugh.
Yancey Thigpen.
We'll ask Chris Sanders about both of those at
awful.
10 o'clock.
Julio Jones.
That was a trade, but yes.
Trade. Okay. Well, thanks for deflating me. That's all right, though. Right. It's terrible. Andre Johnson played
Andre
four
Johnson.
Games. He's like, I'm good.
Do you count Randy Moss? Because
yep.
he was a waiver claim.
Yep. What did he do here? Nothing.
Four catches, something like that.
Yep. So you had some really bad receivers that come in, and it's crazy that your best receiver, you know, he was a fourth rounder out of Michigan State, and then a second rounder of Ole Miss. Those have been your two guys. So their little diving into free agency of wide receivers throughout the years has been just absolutely terrible.
Yeah, and so you're hoping that this one can contribute and help the young guys develop.
Yeah.
As receivers.
So I'm watching you on this, Dr. Crane. I'm on the stream now. So Chase, you're positioned perfectly with all these plates behind you. I swear, if I see these plates start, like, levitating behind you, I'm gone. Because they're all going to come crashing down. I'm out of here, man. Look handsome on that stream today, too.
Thank you.
All of us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. But anyway, that's the it's a wait-and-see approach. And so, you know, Ridley, I mean, he wasn't drafted. I mean, Ridley's got to get going. I mean, him and Cam Ward got to become buddies and all this. And then Lockett help out and Van Jefferson. And, it's funny. I was watching Restrepo yesterday and see what he could do. I mean, he's okay. I mean, but does he make the team? Does Cam Ward go and say anything? Like, hey, you know, let's keep this guy around. I like him. He's my safety valve. I don't know. I think he makes the practice squad. I think somebody probably picks him up. But we'll see what happens.
Who makes the practice squad?
Xavier Restrepo.
Restrepo. We'll see. I mean, I but look, on all accounts, that's probably what they would want. I mean, obviously you want him to be good, but I mean, he is an undrafted free agent. You need your 2 fourth-round picks to do something.
I just, again, he ran a 4.8. I think Dr. Crean had this argument the other day. He ran, you know, that 4.8, 5.40 in his pro day, and the fact that all 32 teams passed on him, had 7 chances to pass, and is something else. But it's a great story if he makes the team and becomes that slot guy. I mean, look, Patriots, Brady made some guys a fortune off Welker and Edelman and Amendola. I mean, those guys were great slot receivers, and the slot receivers become so important to a football team at all levels. Hell, high school, the slot receivers become important. So if they get a good one in there, I think it helps every team because it's tough to cover the slot guy.
New TSU basketball coach Nolan Smith going to join us coming up at 9:30, so looking forward to that.
Heard that guy's a great coach.
Yeah?
Great coach. Yep. Good guy. Real good guy.
Okay.
Yep. I'm alluding to a tweet earlier this week that somebody sent out.
Oh, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's
so
okay.
That's why you're getting silence and a, and a look for me of like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He is a, what's going on, ladies? Well, here's the deal. We're sitting in this aquarium on the corner of 4th and Korean Vets at the Omni National Hotel, and it, this is the worst place I think I could sit because I just look outside at the people walking by and waving at them and making people welcome to Nashville.
Well, we're glad you're doing that.
Let them know they're having a good they're a good city to be in.
I thought it was interesting yesterday on DVD they had Lewis Riddick on from ESPN to talk about the Titans, and it was, if you missed it, definitely go check it out at thegamenashville.com because he was very passionate about Brian Callahan and about Cam Ward and about giving Cam Ward the proper development and giving Callahan the time to develop him and all of that. Strong comments from him. And he also talked more about, you know, during the draft process, he was the one that made the comparisons between Cameron Ward and Patrick Mahomes. And he kind of explained that a little bit and what that meant. But thought it was really good to hear his evaluation of the Titans to this point.
Did he talk about why he's not get did not get a GM job?
No,
he's,
that didn't come up.
Like 10 or 12 opportunities. He's interviewed for a GM.
Yeah.
And not got like John Robinson. I mean, I think the Mahomes Ward comparisons are idiotic.
Yeah, I mean, now. It's just like saying, you know, like I have been careful how I've said this, but, you know, a lot of people are comparing Ward to McNair. And
have they?
I've heard that. It's been out there.
Lord.
And I made the comment to you the other day. I'm like, man, he throws hard. That reminds me of McNair. And I have to be careful when I say that because they'll be like, oh, Chase is comparing Cam Ward to Steve McNair.
You stop doing that, Chase.
It's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just, you know, the release, you can see that twitch in the wrist and how quick that release is. But it's a hard release. So that's all I was trying to say because, like, Derek and Chris have both told us that – Steve McNair threw a hard football.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it hurt your hands when you caught it.
You saw that for the years. I mean, it wasn't the prettiest football, but Peyton Manning didn't throw a pretty football.
No.
A lot of times he threw a wounded duck down the road, but he threw the wounded duck where the wounded duck needed to go, and so that's what made
him
so good.
Who threw the prettiest football you've ever seen?
You're going to get me again, man.
Marino?
Marino. I'm telling you. Dan Marino is the greatest quarterback to ever play. Now, you can say, well, he never won a – I know he didn't win a Super Bowl. I understand that. He's the great his quick release, his delivery was perfect, was beautiful. Laugh at me all you want. Titan-wise, I told you the other day, Kerry Collins threw a perfect football. Vince Young did not. Kerry Collins did. Billy Volek threw a pretty damn good football.
Yeah,
Derek Mason will attest to that.
He did.
But Kerry Collins threw a great football. And Tannehill, sorry, Joe Rexford, threw a good football as well. But it's timing, it's delivery, it's been on the same page. That's why Ridley and Cam Ward need to be together with a lot of things. And I'm really concerned about this. Gunnar Helm dropping passes in practice is not a good look.
Well, all right, so let me ask this question. And this is not making an excuse. I am actually asking a question. Based on what I just said, Cam throwing a hard football, is that something that maybe Gunnar Helm's not used to? That Arch Manning and
Quinn
Ewers didn't throw as hard of a football at Texas, and you got to get used to that. Remind me to ask Chris about that, because I'm wondering of how you really prepare for that if you're not used to it.
And I also think as a rookie, you're a little nervous out there.
Sure.
Things happen, make things right, and trying to do this. And they're not. I wanted to ask Callahan yesterday before I got cut off at the press conference.
Yeah, they're not going to let you ask questions.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done in the 25 season. I was going to say, you got a lot going on, but when you see a young guy struggling, yeah. Do you walk over and say, hey, let's talk for a minute. Let's hold you out of a drill. You okay? Just kind of a coaching thing. I mean, but you're so invested in everything. And sometimes you see a guy just kind of go off the deep end and is having a really bad day. I'd pull him aside and say, we good? What's going on, man?
I want to give thoughts on that, because that's a really good point. And I'd be curious of that as well. Plus, you'll hear a little bit of what Lewis Riddick had to say about Brian Callahan coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe. We are live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. You can weigh in on what we're talking about. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up at 9:30, new TSU basketball coach Nolan Smith will join the program. Chris Sanders at 10 and comedian Brian Bates at 10:30. Great show coming here on 102.5 The Game.
And this is one of the things that I think about a lot. And it's hard to do this, but I would hope that the current regime does not automatically just look at him and be looking for reasons to fire him so they can just bring in, quote unquote, their guy. Because whenever you do that kind of stuff, whenever you just kind of automatically in your head have, this ain't my guy, I'm just looking for my guy. See, first of all, you're already kind of like thinking that you're smarter than you probably really are. And you think you have all the answers when you really don't, because nobody really does. Instead of just taking it as it comes and taking it organically and trusting the fact that, look, the people who were there before him and a lot of other people who weren't even associated with Tennessee would tell you that Coach Callahan is a damn good coach. Okay, and we all know that success and failure is always on a razor's edge in the NFL. And it isn't just on one thing. There are plenty of things that can screw that up. And a lot of times it's the people up top who think they know every damn thing are the ones who are screwing it up. So just let him, give him the resources, objectively evaluate it. And as if you are seeing progression up front, balance, Cam looks more comfortable, the team is playing a winning style of football. To get to your part about the defense is playing winning football, meaning they're not just getting run through, having, you know, time of possession totally out of whack to where you can't even get your young quarterback on the ball, you know, on the field. They're turning the football over at a reasonable rate. Then I think this should be one of those building development seasons to where you go, okay, we've established the foundation. We brought a lot of new people in here. Let's see what 2026 brings.
That was ESPN NFL analyst Lewis Riddick yesterday on DVD. Chase and Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. And again, if you missed that interview, he was absolutely passionate about the Titans, about Brian Callahan, and talking through all of that stuff. But we kind of got into that yesterday of my guy syndrome, as Jared likes to put it.
Yep.
And that's exactly what he was talking about of – oh, you know, all these guys want to bring in their guy when that might stifle the development of the rookie quarterback. Now, what you brought up before the break, and I know there's a little piece of news we'll get to in just a second.
Right.
But what you brought up before the break of I think Brian Callahan, you know, is that kind of coach where if he sees a guy struggling, he is going to pull him aside and say, hey, man, you know, just take a deep breath. Vrabel was that way,
yep.
But Vrabel was a player. And I think there was that player-to-player
right.
kind of rapport.
Yes.
This is probably a little bit more of the coach-player type
but
thing.
But if we got to get to the news. I'm sorry.
We'll go ahead and say it.
The Titans cut Colton Dowell this morning, the former Wilson Central prospect with UT Martin was let go, and they signed Matt Landers. I hate it. They signed Matt Landers. I have no idea who that is. I hate it for Colton Dowell.
Yeah,
I know
too.
The young man. He works his ass off. He had an injury last year. I hate it. He'll be a good special teamer some places. Hope he gets the opportunity to do that. So,
well, here's my question. So, because I just looked up Matt Landers real quick. He's never played a real snap in the NFL. He's been on practice squads and was with the Patriots last year and maybe one other team. I mean, this guy's not making the 53. Right. I didn't think Colton Dowell was going to either.
No, right.
But like, what's the big difference here?
Right.
That's what I want.
That's
like,
a great question.
Like,
I don't know.
Colton Dowell's been with you, knows your offense, and now you're going to cut him and bring in some slappy that you don't know.
Yep, you're right. No, I
no
get
offense
it.
To Matt Landers, but I mean, it's like, what are we doing here?
And Colton Dowell was a draft choice.
Yeah.
The seventh rounder, so he's got a little money coming to him. I just hope he lands someplace else and gets the good kid. His family is beautiful out in Lebanon and Mount Juliet. So back to the question earlier about Callahan helping out. I don't think he can. Not because he can't. He's the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So if there's a DB on the far practice field who's having a bad day, he doesn't know that. Vrabel had no responsibilities except being a head coach. Vrabel is basically the CEO of the team.
Except for 1 year where even though he was – he didn't want to say it, but
right.
He was the defensive coordinator.
Yeah. So in practice right now, Vrabel has our head coach who doesn't have responsibilities can go over and say that. Instead, you need Denard Wilson tells Callahan, hey, you know, Chase was circling today on that. He's got a lot of talent, but I mean, he might be overwhelmed. Then you go after practice and talk to him. That's fine. But on the practice field, it's not happening. And we talked to Tim Houselbeck. He told us this not too long ago about Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy loved to coach special teams, mm-hmm. right? Because he had no other responsibilities. At the core, he's a coach. So he just hop in and Fisher did the same thing.
Yeah.
Would go help out special teams because he still loved to coach and teach the young men and all that. I just think with Callahan being the offensive coordinator, he don't have time for that.
And one of the things he said in the offseason was that he had to make time for that. That he had to – he had to be more of the head coach and be able to touch all aspects of the team. And
right.
So, you know, you make a very good point, and I get it. Don't disagree with you. But you're the head coach, so you need to figure it out. If there is a guy on your defense that's struggling, you know, tell Nick Holtz or Bo Hardigree of like, hey, I'll be right back. Let me go check on the defense for a second. I mean –
there's a lot, man.
Because here's the deal, and this is what I've said to you that we argue about, but if everything they have said about Nick Holtz in that, you know, he's right there with Callahan and he's given suggestions and everything, he can't run the offense for 5 minutes in practice?
That's a good point. I don't know.
I would think he could.
Point. I would hope so.
I would think he could. So, and the other – it's interesting because I was listening to Joe and Paul this morning – kind of talk about
great show.
Talk about our discussion we had yesterday on Callahan and you know they were breaking down. We didn't really talk about it, but breaking down the video of he's got the backward hats on and he's kind of trying to be rah rah and it sounded very forced and you know it's just like let the guy be who he is,
mm-hmm.
you know. And truthfully, I went through that. Like when I became program director, everybody's telling me what to do and how to be and that. You know, you gotta be firm, but you know, you can't be their friend, all that stuff. And finally, I just looked at the person who was saying this. I was like, can you just back the F off and let me be me?
Right. Yeah. You're
like,
right.
Like, I get it. I know you're trying to help, but like, you're not me. You don't know me because consultants don't know people.
They do.
Just back off and let me be who I am. So at the end of the day, we can sit here and say, well, it's forced and it's, you know, that's not him or whatever. The truth of the matter is the only Brian Callahan we know is the guy that walks out for 10 minutes in front of a podium and that you see on the sideline on TV.
Yeah, right.
We don't know what he's like behind the scenes. Vrabel, I think we had a little bit of better idea because Vrabel let you see it more. Mm-hmm. Vrabel was who he was. What you see is what you get. But just let the guy coach. And I agree with Lewis Riddick, and that's why – you know, even though we kind of sit here and question sometimes, like, is he in over his head? You know, is he ahead? Those things. The hope is that he is because I don't want to see this team go through another coaching change because of the rookie quarterback.
What puts Brinker and Borgonzi in a quandary is if this team shows the slightest bit of improvement, they say they go 7-10.
Yeah, right? then you don't make a change.
But they want to make a change. You know, Chase, they want him. They.
I don't know that.
They want
Borgonzi. Borgonzi. Joe, Brinker hired Callahan. He was a part of that.
Okay.
Like, everybody right. keeps going back to, oh, he wants his guy. I'm like, guys, he was the president of football operations when Callahan was hired.
Then Borgonzi comes in. He's already brought his people in.
Sure.
Reggie, Riley, McKenzie, whoever it is, and other scouts and things. To be a loud voice in that room.
Here's the question. Here's what they would be faced with. It would be just like, well, it'll be a little different because it wouldn't be a playoff game, but if they go 7-10,
mm-hmm.
and then you're kind of faced with what Robinson was faced with Malarkey. Malarkey had just won a playoff game. Now, granted, it was a little bit of a fluke thing. Travis Kelce gets hurt. You got Mariota throwing a pass to himself, but they won the game. It doesn't matter.
I look at the game sheet.
Yeah,
it says
they won the game. So then Robinson's sitting there going, well, I really want to make a change because I think they've hit their ceiling, which I don't think he was wrong.
Right.
If Borgonzi's sitting there doing the same thing, then okay, that's a decision he's going to have to live with. If he walks into Chad and Amy and says, hey, I know we showed signs of improvement this year. I know we got a rookie quarterback. But in talking to the players and doing our postseason evaluation, you know, I really think that Steve Spagnuolo is going to be a better head coach for this team.
So then you got the GM who wants to do this, and then we're back to square one again.
Yeah.
Arguing right. about who's in power right. and who's got the charge and all that stuff. Listen, as I told Rexrode yesterday, for Callahan, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong that yeah. you're not a bad head coach. I'm all for it. Hell, I'll send you a cake. I'll say, you prove me. I will eat the cake in front of you and say, because I like cake. But say, look, I was wrong, and you're a good coach. Let's go forward now.
1137 says, I don't care if the Titans go 9-7 and make the playoffs. Callahan needs to go 9-8 is probably what it would be now. But there are people that are just out on him.
Yeah, I get it.
Win he game. Doesn't, and you know why? I think it's because he doesn't fit your head coach mold. Like well, when you think of a head coach, he doesn't look like it.
Well,
but
comparison is a thief of joy, and who do we have the last 6 years?
Right.
You know, somebody sent a note on the tweet to me, just bashing me yesterday, which is fine. I don't care, and said you guys are still so in love with Vrabel. He won one playoff. He hasn't won a playoff game since 2019.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, wait.
That's true.
Then you go back, you're like, yeah.
So that's true. It's a good point.
Did Mike Vrabel do a laviolette? Did that message get tired?
No, I think the worst mistake that Mike Vrabel made was he ran off Dean Pees. I think Dean Pees, I said this at the time, Dean Pees was like his compass. Dean Pees kind of kept Vrabel in between the buoys of where he needed to go.
In between the buoys is a great.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hell yeah.
It was the smartest move he made was hiring Dean Pees. And then the dumbest move he made was forcing Dean to retire, only to unretire a little bit later and go to Atlanta.
Go to Atlanta. No, you're right. And then getting his buddies in there. But all head coaches make critical mistakes.
Look,
down
when
the
Jeff
line.
Fisher hired Chuck Cecil, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff Fisher would admit that now.
Yep.
That was not a good move.
Well, you look at Fisher in 95, his first through the Oilers, they were 4-12. They were not, that was not a good football. Well, we'll talk to Chris Sanders about that too. They were not a good football team. But then he got the chance to develop and go and go and go. And so I think if they go 3-14 again this year, I think Callahan's gone. If you show some growth, keep him there because then you don't want to start over again. We've already hammered that on and on and on. Let's just go out and hopefully win some games, man.
Coming up next, we're going to shift gears and talk a little basketball. Nolan Smith, who is, of course, the fine standout at Duke, is now the head coach at Tennessee State. We will talk to the new coach coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Friday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. And we're excited to welcome TSU men's basketball coach Nolan Smith to town as he was introduced just a few days ago as the new head basketball coach at TSU. Coach, how you doing? Welcome to Nashville.
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
And I understand my sources have told me it is also your birthday. So happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, sir. It is a great day.
So, you know, being you were an assistant coach under Penny at Memphis, I would assume you're familiar with the area when it comes to recruiting. But why was TSU a place that you felt was the next step in your coaching career?
Honestly, just coming to a place that just felt like home, felt like family. And the first conversation I had with Dr. Mickey Allen and President Tucker, you know, the opportunity here to come in here and win in a great league and be a part of a community, Nashville and TSU community and family, it was a no-brainer. So just the excitement to come right up the road from Memphis to become the head coach here was just something that was a no-brainer, and I'm ready to get to work.
What are some things that you're going to be able to take away from the coach? Obviously, you played for Coach K, you worked with Coach K at Duke, and then Penny at Memphis and others at Louisville. What are you able to take away from those coaches that you're going to be able to turn into your style now as a head coach at TSU?
Attention to detail. One of the things that we're learning under Coach K, learning under Coach Hardaway, Coach Kenny Payne, I learned a lot, gained a lot of experience from all three coaches. But the biggest takeaway, especially from Coach K, is the attention to detail in everything that we do, the approach that we have to have every single day, the winning mentality, the winning attitude, the winning talk. You know, and this year we have a really good group. Coach Collins built an amazing team already. I'm excited just getting to know these guys here in these first couple of days. But those are the little things. And coming here, the goal is win now. The goal is win now to build a culture quickly. And it's a winning culture and a winning environment that, you know, I think from day one, these guys are feeling that energy and feeling that obviously we have a task at hand here to win on and off the court.
Talking to new TSU head coach Nolan Smith. Coach, the first phone call you made when you found out you were going to be the head coach at TSU?
My first phone call was to Coach K.
Very nice.
And we were talking all throughout the process and just about the opportunity to come here. He was extremely excited. He said, you're going to go there and you're going to be great. He said, I love that opportunity for you. And just the excitement that I heard in his voice made me feel amazing, you know, because obviously that's my mentor, father figure, and somebody that I lean on heavily. But, you know, just that first phone call was really good. Had me really just jump in the car and come up here right away.
Oh, I love it. You know, a dear friend of mine's a head football coach in college. He said it never set in that he was a head coach until he got the plaque on the door that said, Walt Wells, head football coach. You're going to have one that says Nolan Smith, head basketball coach. What does that mean when you hear head basketball coach to you?
It means to me head leader of men, right? And I think I've worked my whole life. You know, Coach K, when he first, you know, put me on his staff, he goes, hey, do you want to be a head coach? And I said, yes. He said, good, because all of my assistant coaches, you can't work for me if you don't want to be a head coach. And for Coach K, that means that if you don't want to be a leader of young men, help them grow on and off the court, help them grow as basketball players, help them chase their dreams, help them maximize their full potential in all areas of life, then you don't want to be a head coach. And I said, I do. And the minute I said I do, obviously that's who I was as a person, that's who I was as a player, just a leader and somebody who takes pride in leadership, someone who takes pride in being a big brother or a father figure or whatever it is needed to whoever, whenever. So to be able to have that title and sit in that seat, it means everything to me, and it's a badge of honor that I wear proudly.
I love it. Nolan Smith, new TSU head basketball coach, is with us. I know the portal coach is a big deal with everything right now, but still, on the high school level, how important is it to hit the AAU games, hit the high schools? And I know you get the tape and people send you everything, but how important is it just to build those relationships with the high school coaches today to be a successful program?
It's very important, and the key word is relationships for me. You know, in a business now that has become so transactional at all levels, it's important for me to keep the main thing, which is relationships. At the end of the day, in this life that is short-lived, and we know tomorrow is not promised, relationships is everything. So the relationships that I have, the relationships that I build for me are always going to be genuine and are always going to be about putting these kids first. So if I have real relationships, I have to build relationships here in Nashville with the high school coaches here, because at the end of the day, if I don't get them coming out of high school, I might get them on the back end out of the transfer portal because of the relationships. Like, you know what? That Coach Smith over there is a great human being, and we have a great relationship, even though I didn't send you there to begin with, that's where I want you to go now. So those relationship things and those relationships as your foundation has to be the main thing.
We're talking to Nolan Smith, the TSU men's basketball coach. Our midday show host is a diehard Duke Blue Devils fan and was very excited when he found out that we were going to be having you on, talking about that 2010 national championship. Does that ever get old when people bring that up? Because you guys had such a great team.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And that's when you talk about being champions, it can never get old because that's what you work for, right? You work to be champions, and champions are remembered forever. So no matter how old you get, there's always somebody out there that remembers that championship. Like some of these kids, they're like, man, 2010, that was a long time ago, coach. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting up there now. I just turned 37. But there's somebody, right, that is going to remember it because it's always going to be remembered. And that's why we play the game. That 2010 memory is something that obviously I'll never forget. It was a big moment in my life with my teammates, and those teammates are my brothers, and it's something that we'll always cherish.
You know, something you said earlier about being a leader of men, obviously I think everybody knows that Coach K certainly was that when he was the head coach at Duke all those years. But I also have to imagine that there were times where he could be pretty intimidating. What was the balance with him of knowing when to, you know, be that father figure, coach, however you want to put it, but also like when he's got to turn the heat up, he was able to do that?
Oh yeah, I mean, for him it was when we got between those lines, or it was business time, you knew Coach K was locked in. It was time to take care of business. And then whenever the game was over, practice was over, we were done with the weight room or conditioning, whatever it is, when it came time to the work, he was able to flip the switch. And if there's somebody he needed to talk to or pull into his office, you know, he would do that and have those either hard conversations or loving and accountability conversations and be able to say, hey, what's going on with you? You're not yourself. So he always was a human being and somebody that was relatable and that you could go talk to.
Well, Coach, we're excited for you to be in Nashville, and obviously we love TSU and talking TSU athletics. So hopefully we will have many of these conversations throughout the season with you.
Thank you so much, and excited to be here and excited to get to work.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you all.
Nolan Smith, new head coach of the TSU Tigers men's basketball program and, of course, a national champion at Duke, and most recently coached with Penny Hardaway at Memphis.
It's that transitional time for TSU. New football coach, a new basketball coach. And I mean, what a career he had at Duke. I mean, that was a hell of a player. I mean, it's a good gift to TSU, man.
I mean, it's funny. He brings up, you know, some of his players, like, may not remember those. I remember that team or those teams. I mean, that 2010 run was certainly an awesome one. But, you know, that just shows you Duke always – managed to find those good players.
They did. Was that the Butler year? I think Butler made the run.
Maybe
10 and 11. Yeah,
something like that.
Won a national championship. That's not bad. Not too shabby.
What's interesting is this kind of. We'll go back to football, but have you seen the report that North Carolina is exploring trying to move to the SEC?
They ain't dumb.
No, I believe North Carolina and Clemson. To me, if UNC is going to move, Duke has to. They have to be a package deal.
Let's talk about it.
All right. We'll talk about that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Well done, Dr. Crane. Little Jefferson's bringing us back. So North Carolina, there was a report inside Carolina's Adam Smith that multiple sources stated that UNC is interested in a potential departure from the ACC and would eye the SEC in moving there. The earliest that they could potentially leave would probably be 2027. But my thing is, and I think Clemson's name has been batted around as well. Look, we all knew this was coming. I mean, there's eventually going to be basically Big Ten SEC, and then everybody else, whatever. And so now some of these power programs, which Carolina certainly, they think they're going to become that in football with Bill Belichick. I don't think that, but they obviously have that in basketball. They're wanting to get into the best conference.
All right, so Duke won't go if Carolina makes the lead. Duke ain't following North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. I mean, it's
but I think they're going to. I think they would have to
stay in the ACC. Go independent.
Go be top dog in the ACC.
Go be what Notre Dame is. I mean, go do your own thing, and you know, and generate what you want to do. I don't know where this ends. I think if North Carolina, if this does happen, get rid of the SEC championship game. Now it means nothing. I mean, you're adding 16. Where do you stop at 20?
Right. The interesting thing is, like the SEC. You know, if we had talked about this 10 years ago, I would have said the SEC should definitely pursue this because of basketball, because then they could become the top dog in football and the top dog in basketball.
Yeah.
They don't need that anymore.
Nope.
Like
not at
the
all.
SEC in basketball is, I mean, I would say up the, you know, maybe not the top because, I mean, again, Carolina and Duke are blue bloods, but you got Kentucky. Now Alabama's got a program. Tennessee's got a good program. Vanderbilt may be on the way back up. Texas has a good program. South Carolina's, you know, historically had a decent program. So the SEC has schools, Missouri, that are competing for the championship and in the tournament every year. I mean, how many did they have? 14 in the tournament last year?
How many
like that?
Got beat on day one? Half of them?
Still.
So I how am I should say this, is that I think it's getting to the point where the SEC will just have their own everything. I mean, we heard Sankey. He's not going to let the Big Ten boss him around.
No.
So I think the SEC might just be their own entity within themselves. And I think a lot of people be happy with that. I would not be. I think what's happening now is disastrous. I'm not a fan of all these mega conferences. And I think once the SEC goes into their own entity, they shut out a lot of other Group of Five schools from playing. Yeah. I'm rooting for every Group of Five school to kick every Power Four school's ass throughout the year. I'd love it.
The thing that's kind of fun about the new college football video game is you can do custom conferences. Like, you can customize everything.
Yeah.
I've done on one of my dynasties, I put everything back. So I put the Pac-12 back.
Good.
I put Texas and Oklahoma back in the Big 12. And like, just put it all back to where it was.
I might as well. I'm way older than you are, but I grew up with the Metro Conference.
Sure.
Which was Florida State, Tulane, Southern Miss, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Cincinnati. It was fun. It wasn't the SEC.
Yeah.
But it was still fun. It was that conference that, you know, if you're going to play them on a Saturday, you're in for a fight all day long. When Favre and Southern Miss beat FSU in 89 at the Gator Bowl, you're cheering for all that stuff. And these other schools that this, you know, didn't get their fair shot. That was fun, man. Now it's a business.
What's interesting is when all this really – and you know, there was conference expansion in the 90s that led to the SEC championship game.
Yep.
Which was that Mike Slive or was that –
It was Roy Kramer.
Roy Kramer. And then Mike Slive takes over.
Yes.
And that's when everything really just skyrocketed.
Yep.
But we were all cool with it, like, for the most part. Like, everybody's like, all right, whatever. You know, there were some SEC people probably like you that kind of – excuse me, looked at Arkansas and South Carolina and were kind of like, yeah, you're not real. Like,
it took a while.
You know, but now they are. And but, just kind of like Texas A&M and Missouri.
Yeah.
Like, it took a while. But now it's just like, holy cow. Like, this thing has really gotten out of control.
Yep.
And you know, when, oh, this would be kind of cool. Now it's just weird because the Pac-12 is basically gone. And then you got the Big 12 that has been drastically neutered because they don't have Texas and Oklahoma and Texas A&M anymore. So it's just like
– it's something. It's funny to go back to your thing about Arkansas and South Carolina. 92, Vol fans, don't hate me, but the name Kendall Trainer, you know who he is, the kicker at Arkansas. Arkansas's first year in the SEC, they beat Tennessee. So did South Carolina. They beat Tennessee. So it was like, oh, my God, they're in the SEC now. We got to deal with this and go forward. And that was the conference championship game in 92, and it took off from then on. And then it was something else. It was a beautiful thing that happened. And it's funny, you know, the reports came out this week that Memphis offered the Big 12 or the Big 10, I forget which one it was, $250 million to join. And they're like, nah, we're good. And it's like, my goodness. I mean, where does this end? Is this all about just deep pockets, what's going on? I guess it is. But I'm telling you, man, I'm rooting for every Group of Five that plays a game this year. When we go to Wisconsin, I would love nothing more than MTSU.
Oh, could you imagine?
Just punish Wisconsin.
I'd love it.
Like, I would love to live, to see with my own two eyes, be in the building, a moment like you witnessed when MTSU went and just beat the ever-loving crap out of Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
Like an upset to that caliber.
Yes.
That, I mean, truthfully, like, upsets like that get a coach fired. Like, those are the kind of things that and who's Luke Fickell, right? Is the head coach at Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
You know, and I like Luke Fickell, but I mean, I don't want him to get fired, but I'm just saying, like, those type of upsets where ESPN's talking about it, we'd be talking about it, we would be there. I mean,
I think more Group of Five schools are going to beat Power Five.
I do too, because of the portal.
Because of the portal.
Because you're going to have, and look, the more that the Group of Five, like, we have a lot of conversations with people at MTSU. My thought is they kind of get how the game is played now. And the more Group of Five schools that accept how the game is played now of, like, you know what? I'm going to go get Sean Mark, who's a four-star that signed with Alabama and was given this bill of goods and sold this bill of goods, and he's a hell of a quarterback at Alabama, but he's got another guy ahead of him that was just a little bit better, so he's just sitting there not playing. He's going to go, well, screw that. I'm going to go to Middle. I'm going to ball out at Middle for a year, and then Georgia's going to come off for me.
That's it.
And I'm going to make $5 million.
You just described the game, brother. That's how it's been played now.
And if you're a coach at one of these Group of Fives that is like, man, that's not how it works, then guess what? You're not going to be a coach for much longer.
That's right.
Because the game, this is the game, and yep. you have to accept that.
That's why we quit comparing. Well, last year, you know, Vandy lost to Georgia State down there. I get it. We're not comparing year to year anymore because so many guys have left.
Mm-hmm.
50, 60 guys have all transferred and gone. They don't remember last year because they weren't here.
Vandy is an anomaly. The fact that they have all those guys that came back. Like, and good on them because they basically looked at each other like, yeah, I know we all probably could go make more money elsewhere, but let's see this through.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Vadiato staying at MTSU, that's an anomaly because, again, he probably could have gone somewhere else and made more money, mm-hmm. but he wanted to see it through. So you're still going to have some of that, but that's where these Group of Fives. So I agree with you. I think we are going to see and look, from a television standpoint, from an entertainment standpoint, that's good for business. That if you have – you know, an MTSU going to Wisconsin and beat Wisconsin.
Yeah, oh, I agree. The only Group of Five team I hope goes 0-12 is Trent Dilfer and UAB. Hope they lose every game because I can't stand him.
Matthew in Nashville says, we don't need any more teams in the SEC. I don't want Sankey's dream to come true of a 24-team SEC that breaks away from the NCAA to form their own mini NFL.
Exactly. I would hate that.
It's going to happen.
It's absolutely going to happen.
And you know what's interesting? And again, I like Greg Sankey. He's always been, you know, good with his time and comes on.
Right.
And stuff. But if you go listen to the interview we had with him last week compared to the first interview he ever did with this radio station, gosh, you hear a change. You hear a guy.
Right.
You hear a guy that he hates to be called the most powerful man in college athletics. But he also loves to be the most powerful man in college athletics.
I'm a big body language guy. I've always been a body language guy. He looked miserable.
Yeah.
Greg Sankey looked absolutely miserable talking to us and anybody else at SEC Media Days. That's why I asked the question. Is there one day you'd like not to talk to anybody? Is that possible?
Yeah.
He said, I tried on the 4th of July. I would not want all that. I mean, the downfall of man throughout history has been greed. Why does it have to be greed in college football? We have to be left alone. And, you know, to make it into a mini MINI NFL drives me crazy.
Real quick, Matthew also said, did y'all see the newest thing that Memphis is in trouble for? Speaking of Memphis, one of their players sent the playbook to a UTSA player. On3 released the screenshots of the text.
Saw it. Awful. Absolutely awful.
This is bad, man.
It is. It really is bad. And then Memphis. So,
Memphis.
You know, how do you stop that?
Take their phone away?
I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. You've kind of done this to yourself because they're putting all the damn playbook stuff on iPads now. Yep. It's not even a physical playbook anymore.
That's right.
So, sure, I mean, what do you expect to happen?
You know, that's the thing is that, I mean, how do you – you could ever trust this guy again, ever. I'd kick him off the team immediately.
No.
I'd make it
no. No, like you cut a guy, like the Titans, for instance, like cut a guy and like, hey, bring your playbook. You bring the tablet back. You probably saved it on, you know, you probably copied it.
Homework assignment for all sports fans. Google Ron Zook and Jack Sells, former Tennessee assistant who photocopied at Kinko's or FedEx the Tennessee playbook back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Wasn't Ron Zook the guy that took over for Spurrier at Florida?
He did. Sure did. Go look at what happened. Somebody photocopied and got busted doing that. Don't do it. You always get caught.
Yep. Coming up next, we're going to talk to our man Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, get his thoughts on the first couple of days of training camp. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.